Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe when too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that little pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science. Very good. Quickly, we're going to give you two in a second. Then work it up. Look at you.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 for me.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch.
Jesus Christ, I got
it. Oh,
I got
it. Whoa. Smells like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, welcome to this edition of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Notorious JLM.
There you go.
Notorious JLM.
That's a new one. It took me by surprise.
Judo Larry M.
There you go.
Notorious JLM.
All right. All right. So welcome to the new episode of The Riot. As usual, we will discuss the topics of the previous week, Larry. But until we do that, first things first. Bing, bing.
Bing, bing.
Whoosh. Which means go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com for all your riotous needs, past episodes, show synopsis, social media handles, anything you can think of, both audio and video archives. Go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. Check out all the goodness there. Then, of course, the previously mentioned social media where all the nastiness happens. You can kick it all off by going to facebook.com/thatriotshow, facebook.com/thatriotshow. Join the other fans of the Facebook page. Check out what's going on there. Join the discussion. Become part of the riotous movement, Larry.
That would be good.
Yes, it would.
We would like that, and we are trying to grow this show.
Grow.
We're trying... to get cut off of Twitter by Trump.
Yeah.
We're trying to get banned, but we're still trying to grow.
Yeah. Grow.
How many?
And cut. Sort of like a circumcision.
There you go. Nice.
Ooh! Anyway, and then for all the juiciness, go to Twitter. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. Go to Twitter where, as Larry mentioned, I am very actively trying to get banned by Donald Trump. But so far, Larry, only success in getting banned by left-wing comedians.
Yes, and of course, these days, the oxymoron that is left-wing comedians.
Yes, left-wing comedians and left-wing free speech advocates are oxymorons. All right, and once you get done with Twitter, twitter.com/thatriotshow, don't forget, Phil, Scrollo Podcasts, please. For the folks that want to catch us on the podcast, audio only, maybe while they're driving or maybe sitting through one of their Keynesian economic classes in college, you want to put on a little bit of the riot. So go to your favorite platforms. They're all up there. iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podomatic. You saw them. You got them. Check them out. Phil's been nice enough to roll the scroll.
We're done.
And we're done with pimping.
There we go.
All right, so Larry, on the heels of last week's program, which was very well received.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of people actually sent emails this week saying, like, you guys really looked like you were having a meaningful discussion, that, you know, you didn't, it wasn't sort of predetermined who was taking the side. And we keep saying this. I don't know why people don't believe us, Larry. We just get talking points for the show. You know, where we say, hey, we want to talk about the First Amendment or Trump or this savage who bombed London again or whatever, right? But that's it. You know, we sit down. It's live to tape, as they say, meaning there's no edits. There's no real, we made a mistake, start over. We just sit here. We shoot the fat. Hopefully, some of that will help someone out there in the way they look at things, Larry.
Yeah.
And hopefully come around to the libertarian point of view. But
there's nothing planned.
Right.
We don't sit here and, like, rehearse anything. You know, we've got the points. It's your job to make sure that we both make sure that we're informed and we can speak about whatever, but that's about as much prep as actually.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you, like, we're both libertarians, but much like everything else, we say one of the reasons we're libertarians is because it's the thinking man's party. You know, we really do try to take every issue as it comes and apply the principles of liberty, Larry, to whatever situation comes up. And sometimes it isn't that clear cut, like we were saying last week with whether the dopey bitch that texted to her boyfriend to kill himself really should, you know, suffer legal consequences for that. So just want to remind everyone that, this is a live to tape. So, Larry, it is just our opinions coming out for the folks out there. And this week, let's start off with, again, since he is the president, let's give him his due. We'll pick on that idiot first. Trump came out and admitted that he was bluffing when he tweeted that he had tapes on Comey.
No tapes.
No tapes at all. He's admitted this now.
He's admitted that, in fact, he was just watching the show.
So, Larry, I have to tell you, I don't understand now this president. I've never understood him to be anything other than a 5-year-old trapped in a 70-year-old moron's body. But I have to admit now, why would he knowingly lie?
Right.
Tweet that he lied. Like, this wasn't something that he told Comey in private. You know, like, hey, man, I've got tapes on you. You better watch the fuck out.
Right.
He came out and tweeted that. And to, quote unquote, scare Comey into telling the truth. But what's interesting about it is that we've now accepted, in my opinion, a president that we know is going to lie to us. That cannot be trusted to tell the truth. So that anything that comes out of his mouth, no matter how much he says he's sincere and he tweets that it's the truth and everything, why would anyone take him seriously at this point? Mm-hmm. He lied about Comey.
Yeah.
Obviously, he lied about the health care bill because as soon as it looked like it wasn't going to pass in the House, what did he do? Lousy bill. Never liked it.
Very mean.
Very mean. Not my idea of fun. You know, and now he's all in on the Senate version of the health care bill, which is even worse, in my opinion.
Right.
But the point being here is, Larry, how can we ever take anything seriously that comes out of this man's mouth? And when he does say something that's the truth, why would we believe him? Do you know what I mean? Like, if he were to say tomorrow, let's say he tweets, like, I've had enough in North Korea, we're attacking tomorrow. Like, if any other president said that or tweeted that, there'd be huge alarm, right? There's a good chance that if this guy ever tweeted that, we'd just ignore it. Because we'd be like, it's bullshit again.
And by tomorrow, he'd forget it.
Yeah.
Like he didn't mean it. Like it's
no, but I mean, in the case where he actually does it, no one would give a shit.
Yeah.
Because they'd assume he's lying.
Yeah.
You know, the classic Chicken Little. So I mean, what do you... Yeah. I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this guy. I mean, like, every other day, he's got another stupid tweet or something, or if he's not, like, attacking the mayor of London with stupid comments after a terrorist attack, he's distancing himself from the healthcare bill.
Yeah.
But of course, he has to preface everything with, Obamacare is the biggest failure of all time. Like, and then on the other hand, you talk about telling the truth. Then on the other hand, he insists that his agenda is just a tremendous success.
Right.
He's done so much in the past 56, 88, whatever. It feels like it's been 10 years already.
Which is more horseshit.
Yeah. And now, and he's doing John's favorite thing. He went to Cedar Rapids, Iowa the other day, and he's speaking to all the hillbillies, and they came out with the shirts and the toes, and they're all there, and Make America Great, and they're all clapping for him. The wall. Maybe it could be a solar energy wall. Did you hear about this?
No.
He wants to make the wall now. It's going to be a solar energy wall. So there's a benefit to it. There's the energy. It'll be cheaper. And then he said this. He goes, then the Mexicans who can afford to pay for it. they won't mind paying for it. I was like, this guy is just like living in his own world. You know, and we've always said on this show that the only good thing about him winning is that Hillary Clinton didn't win. Right. I don't know about that anymore. I'm telling
you. Oh, really? You're starting to come around.
I'm starting to debate, not coming around, but because that would really be like, yeah. But now I'm really starting to think, would she have been much worse than this guy? Or I think this, at least she knows how to govern.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy and all his bullshit goes, I'm draining the swamp. I'd rather be here in Iowa with you real people. Oh, come on. His whole life. He's been flying over places like that his whole life and going, look at those idiots down there. You know, they don't, like, I make more in a day than they make in a year. I don't know.
Great con jobs in our lifetimes and possibly several past lifetimes that he's been able to push this narrative of himself as the common man, the everyman. Listen, I know a lot of rubes are like, he's a builder, he's a real estate dude. He's never dug a hole in his life. He's never gotten his hands dirty, other than like through bankruptcies. He's not one of you. He has no clue anything about you.
The closest he's ever come to your kind of lifestyle is like if a new building went up with his name on it, he shows up at the thing, they put on the hat and he with the shovel and he smiles and he fucking walks off.
And he powders. So it's like, you know, it's just, forget it. But what's interesting, what's even more interesting is that this pathological lying that he does, much like Hillary Clinton, that even when there's no scandal there, he turns it into a scandal because he can't tell the truth. Okay? So for years we've said Hillary, more than likely, in my opinion, she's guilty of something, right?
Yeah.
But even when she's not guilty, she can't be honest with anyone.
Yeah.
But it goes back to saying, look, I was listening to someone, I forget his name, but he was on one of the Joe Rogan podcasts, Larry, and he said, look, even Richard Nixon, as mean-spirited as he was, nobody really thought he was insane. Nobody really thought he was
mentally damaged
or anything. You know what I mean? But you get that impression with Trump. You get the impression with Trump that he doesn't know what the truth is. Even if he didn't know what the truth is, he wouldn't give a shit what the truth was. He would just say whatever came into his head, whether it had facts or not. And, you know, I was thinking, Larry, for all the rubes that are claiming about the mainstream media and the fake media and the vicious media and whatever else Trump calls them, have you rubes forgotten how critical the mainstream media was to getting this asshole elected?
Yeah.
Have you forgotten how they treated him with kid gloves when he was, like, no other presidential candidate?
He was fine.
Right. Lion Ted and low energy Jeb and
the ratings were up.
And ugly face Carly. Like, think about it. Throughout his campaign, like we were saying while it was happening, just one act after another of someone who should have been self-destructed, and that a real media would have trounced him and not given him all that free advertising. A lot of people are saying, well, he funded his... No, he really didn't fund his own campaign.
No, he didn't.
At all, okay? He got so much more free media than anybody else. So for all of you saying, you know, some people did an analysis, and he got like four times the media dollar equivalent than Hillary Clinton. So for all you people that are saying, oh, Clinton News Network, CNN and all that, maybe an opinion. But the ones that put Trump on the map and basically set him on this path of destruction of his was the mainstream media.
Right.
So now I think it's hilarious now that the same rubes that were like more than happy to have him on every news program that he was on covered 8-9 hours a day because of his nonsense, now they're complaining. Fake media, this media, that media. And like we said, some of it is true. Absolutely. There is a left-wing bias in most news outlets, Larry.
Yeah.
But can you please stop thinking that everything is a fucking conspiracy?
The funny thing is, you're absolutely right, because the people who support him, I quite honestly, not just to pile on, but they're not smart enough to realize a point like that. Like, you don't, they're not. You don't realize this guy, and I have talked about this on the show. He would call into Fox News, and he would talk with Kilmeade and Ducey in the morning show, and whatever blonde was on.
Yeah.
Now it's Ainsley Herrick. And then right after, you could put on MSNBC, like, hi, Joe, hi, Mika, you look fabulous, like, we're doing really well, the money's coming, like, and then you could go to CNN, And they would be, but mostly Fox and MSNBC. And now, this is one of the reasons why I have no respect for Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski, bashing him unbelievably. They were so happy that he called in every morning. The ratings were nuts.
Right.
The numbers are out. You can get them. I've seen them. The ratings were nuts. The people were like actually following around to read his stupid tweets. And you have to realize, part of the reason they did, this is what you can criticize them for. One of the reasons they did it, outside that it helped, is they didn't think he was going to win.
Right.
So this was like hilarious. Like, we'll have him on. He'll say something stupid like, we're building the wall and murderers and rapists. And we'll talk to him about it. And then we get a ratings boost. We'll pick up some people. And that's it. Who cares? Because at the end of the day, Hillary Clinton is going to be the president. Yeah. So realize when you talk about the MSM, the mainstream media, that's how they refer to it now. When you talk about that Trump people and you can't stand him and he was, you know, with the president of Romania a few weeks ago, which one of these killer networks should I pick?
Right, they're so mean.
Oh, please. For God's sakes, even the Romanian president looked at him like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Realize all the free shit that he got, and the only reason he got on is because his positions were so nutty. The wall, the Muslim ban, all these things. He's undoing the deals and he's going to make new deals. You know,
yeah, so,
transparency is gone.
And they never held his feet to the fire. Right. That was the other thing. So they put him on, but they really didn't like challenge him on stuff and push him on stuff. And he would always get out of it by saying, you know, you have a lovely voice. You know, we did a radio show. Aren't we friends? And, are you on your period, Megan? Or whatever the fuck he said, you know. But the point is, nobody really held his feet to the fire. So for all you rubes out there who keep tweeting at me and saying that I'm part of the, what is it, mainstream fake news, whatever the fuck, I'm part of it, apparently. Larry is part of it. But the truth of the matter is, your boy would be nowheres without all that free media.
Yeah.
And the fact that he keeps fucking up, we still don't know really about his business entanglements. Anything he does touches his business interests. That is like a fact to this day. Like I said, you really don't know what's really going on with these investigations because it is just so so adversarial. No one's willing to really sit down and be straight with anyone.
And here's an interesting thing that touches on all the Russia probe and everything. Now, a Obama official, ex-Obama official, admitted, he goes, well, we kind of choked on handling Putin and Russia. And now they're putting out there, I don't know if this is just manipulation by the Democrats, they're putting out there that the Obama, they knew Putin was interfering with the election and that he was personally directing it. And they weighed a number of options from cyber attacks to all kinds of things to punish him. And they eventually went with largely meaningless symbolic stuff. They sent home some ambassadors and that they called spies. They closed like a building or some embassy somewhere. Some sanctions that they said totally symbolic, that do no real economic damage. And they let him go with a slap on the wrist. And now this unnamed ex-Obama official, senior official, his words were, we kind of choked on that one. They're actually admitting now, at least if you were to go by this statement, they're admitting that they knew that what Putin was doing, but they decided not to be harsh on him, which makes them look ridiculous. Because what have the Democrats been talking about since November? That the Russians have interfered with our election. And I've seen some of them on shows losing their mind about how they're damaging our democracy and the very heart of us. Well, you know what? Barack Obama didn't do shit about it. Now, assuming this is true, this official came out. It was in the news that he came out and said, well, they knew about it. They just didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, and honestly, who knows what that's about, right? That could be just the Democrats getting ahead of a Trump accusation and all that. So, look, I don't know. And the truth of the matter is, I think it's possible. See, people seem to think it's a binary thing. You know, it's quite possible that the Russians interfered with the elections and are propping up Trump. It could be both.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be either or. And as a matter of fact, I kind of think it is both. I mean, we said it during the elections that they're probably intervening to some extent on behalf of Trump because he has relationships with those people, business relationships with half of the gangsters that run Russia at this point. One of them being Putin. You know, Putin's making himself rich in Russia, right?
Oh,
he's that type of despot. So is, you know, is it possible that it's both true. Both sides could be true in this case. It's not an either or, I don't think.
Right.
It could be possible.
It's clearly something that Putin was involved in. I mean, even though he did the interview with Megyn Kelly and he denied it, obviously.
Well, what was he going to do?
But despite that, they're saying now that he was heavily involved, personally involved. He directed attacks. And, you know, but look, that's another criticism of Obama. Look at the stupid things he did at the end of his term, letting out like that Puerto Rican terrorist from the FALN who marched in the parade here in New York City. He's letting these people out of jail. He's doing stupid stuff like that and important stuff, like dealing with this son of a bitch in Moscow. Nothing. Now, you know what that means now? We've been out on back-to-back presidents who just got slapped around by this guy. Remember when Bush was famously, I looked into his eyes and I saw it. So I almost fainted when he said that. I think we covered that like 5-6 years ago. Yeah. I almost died. I was like, I remember saying to myself, oh, look again. And Obama, what did he do for 8 years with Putin? Putin just fucking manhandled. I mean, I know he's a lunatic, but he's very good at this stuff. Let me tell you. He's a sneaky son of a bitch.
So, yeah. So Trump really can't, you can't trust him. And part of the thing is, for example, to segue into, let's see how slick this is.
Okay.
You know, there were two special elections last week, Larry.
Yes, there were.
One in Georgia, one in South Carolina, okay. In which for the House, and in both cases, Republicans won.
Right.
Now, they were extremely close, okay? Very close. Right. But Republicans pulled them out. So, hooray for the Republicans if you're of that bent. Trump, of course, just takes this and says, hey, this just proves it. I'm number one, MAGA, and all the other shit that he typically says. Mm-hmm. Now, typically, I'm not somebody who looks, you know, for shining up the turd necessarily. But I will say one thing. In both those races, less than 7 months ago, or about 7 months ago, both those races were won by Republicans with 20-plus point margins of victory. So we're not talking about 2 years ago, the last cycle. We're saying recently, when these things first got filled, Republicans won by over 20 points in those districts.
Right.
This time, they barely hung on to win in both. Okay.
Yeah, they won like 52% to 48.
Yeah, so it was very much closer than it should have been, but they did win. So the Democrats are trying to take heart by saying, hey, look, these were traditionally like Republican seats, and we competed very well in both of them. But again, that's also like a bit of a fake thing because they've poured in so much money. It's unsustainable. You couldn't do it in every contested seat in the country, okay? Right. So on the one hand, yeah, they did make it close. On the other hand, you can't have that much outside money pouring in constantly.
Yeah, you know what the problem with this, that kind of thinking is? Here's the thing. At least if you had won even one seat, okay, that's something. Because these are traditionally Republican seats.
Strongly Republican.
Yeah, but you're 0-4. So here's the problem. Now you've lost the presidency. You don't have the House. You don't have the Senate. Now you've had four special elections, and you lost all four of those. The only problem I have really with that kind of, well, it was very close, is it's like the thing with Hillary, like focusing on the popular vote.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because they won. No. And now these seats are now filled by Republicans, and the Democrats spent a tremendous amount of money.
And
what's going on out there is the Republicans, they spent a lot of money tying all these candidates to Nancy Pelosi, who apparently has become rather toxic, and to the point where the guy who challenged her for her leading role as in the Democrats,
speaker.
He's now coming out. I think his last name is Murphy. He's coming out again saying, we've got to get rid of her. And he was on some show and he said, you know what? People, they don't identify with her. And I think he used some term like San Francisco Value. You know, it's one of those, and he's a Democrat. And, you know, there's going to be a real problem because the Democrats have no message. You know, like if you look at these special elections, I saw one of the ads. It really just comes down to, hey, look, you hate Donald Trump, so do we.
Yeah.
That's not a message. That's not a campaign.
And honestly, I was just about to say that, Larry. It's the revolt against Nancy Pelosi also has to be in part that there's no real leadership in the Democratic Party right now. So the DNC got gutted, right, during the elections. It got gutted because it blew an easy victory. It got gutted because of what came out about how they treated Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Wasserman Schultz hit the bricks. Donna Brazile with her, you know, getting questions ahead of time for Hillary and her whole shadiness in that.
And lying about
it. And now some guy's in charge of the DNC. I already forgot who it is. It's some, like...
Perez.
I was going to say some Hispanic guy, and it turns out being this guy Perez. They have no real message other than Donald Trump sucks.
Yeah.
And the truth is, yeah, Donald Trump does suck. I agree with you. But it's not a strong enough message to win, and it's certainly not a strong enough message to win in areas that were Republican to begin with.
Right. And it's not going to help you, and even Biden said this, it's not going to help you with those traditionally white, blue-collar people. Because you're not speaking to their economic issues. In fact, and I've said this before, you know, if you're white, I don't know why you'd vote for the Democratic Party, unless it's just a cause, like global warming or abortion or gay.
Or if you're one of those guilty white people that think you're responsible for the world's ills.
Exactly. You know, and think that white people are the worst life in the world, which is too stupid to even go into right now. But the fact is, why would you vote for the Democratic Party? I don't understand that. Like, the Democrats almost seem stunned. Like, the white working class just didn't do what they were supposed to do. Look, you're condescending to these people. You're blaming them for everything. You're blaming them for everything in history. And the Democrats are moving to so far to the left. This used to be something I talked about in the 80s when I first started really following radical politics, both left and right. On the left, the hostility towards white people, white supremacists, now it's white privilege. Okay, here's the problem with all that. They're treating white people, the majority of this country, like you're just a canvas of this country. And the colors that we throw on the canvas, that's the real story. That's the real America. That's the future. That's who we represent. Well, you know what? You're not going to win like that. These people, let me tell you something. The people, and you know, Michael Moore called the race, right? These people, they're not going to vote for you in 2018, and they're not going to vote for you in 2020 if your standard bearer is Elizabeth Warren or somebody like that. Bernie's going to be way too old to run. Forget it. If you run some kook like that, you're going to, believe it or not, you think they're unhinged now?
Yeah.
Here's a prediction for you. How unhinged are all these leftists going to be if Donald Trump gets reelected?
Yeah. Forget the leftists. How about just like us?
Yeah.
Reasonable people, you know.
Yeah, but we're not. We're not.
I was going to say to the Democrats, you got to get a message. And I think part of this blowback is they don't have leadership. Pelosi's not leading anything.
Yeah.
You know, Schumer's really not leading anything other than bitching about Trump.
No.
The DNC really isn't leading on anything. Like right now, you should be latching on to traditional Democratic values. Unfortunately, your problem is the Republican in the White House is more of a Democrat than you are.
Right.
Okay. With his bullshit like minimum wage, universal health care, tariffs.
$1 trillion for infrastructure.
Yeah, bullshit like FDR level infrastructure nonsense.
Right, yeah.
These are traditionally democratic platforms,
right,
which is why, for the most part, we can't stand Donald Trump. He's really a Democrat. He's a New York Democrat who just happens to be mean and stupid.
Right.
Which is why you think he's not a Democrat. Yeah, he is. He's a Democrat.
No, he is.
Look at all his positions. They're basically big government, big state,
government
solutions to people's problems. You may not agree with the solutions. And by the way, full circle now, that's why we say government shouldn't get too big. Because eventually, it's going to get big for the people you don't agree with. Which is what's happening now.
Right. And then where will you be?
Exactly. Remember, what is it? The government that's big enough to give you everything you need is big enough to take it all away, right. You know. Big enough to take away everything you have. And that is definitely the case. So Democrats, you need to get with a program that involves a message to the people. Pick something, whether it's... See, your problem with healthcare, and we're just sort of ADDing it here, Larry. But your problem with healthcare and shitting on the Republican healthcare bill is that the alternative, which is what's in place, already isn't working.
Yeah, Obamacare is failing.
Is failing.
I understand that Trump keeps going, it's the worst thing, it's failing. But it actually is falling apart as health insurers are dropping out of plans, leaving states. Premiums are skyrocketing in states like Arizona.
And I know that Bernie Sanders thinks that it's the fault of the corporations and stuff, but we've said it 1,000 times. It's math. You know, if you want to put people who are not kicking into the pool, who also get sicker at a rate much higher than the rest of the population, this is what happens. It didn't take a genius to predict it. Certainly not us, right? We predicted it. We're not geniuses. But it doesn't take a genius to predict what happens in those situations.
Right.
Okay? Pre-existing conditions. I told you there's no such thing as insurance for pre-existing conditions. Do you know why? Because if the condition exists, you're not insuring against it. You're treating it.
Right.
Right? There's a difference there.
Right.
There's no such thing as insurance for pre-existing conditions. Right. That's like saying I'll buy car insurance after I have
after
an accident.
After I crash, right.
That's right. Not insurance.
Right. Insurance is it's like a hedge against... All right, something yeah. might happen. So if you already have, like, cancer, unfortunately, but if you have something,
yeah.
you've already got something. So now what you're really saying is, hey,
help me out.
Yeah, just pay for it, would you? It's very expensive. Could you pay for it for me? Well,
and I understand the human position of that. It's not lost on us. But the answer in those cases is not insurance, because all you're doing is fucking it up for everybody else.
Right.
Right?
It's not a lack of heart or a lack of humanity for other people. It's even if we agreed, well, that's terrible. They should be taken care of. Fine. You know what the problem is? You still have to have a program, your plan. You have to have something in place that addresses these issues. Whether we feel good for it, bad about it, whatever, you have to have something. And right now, what is there? There's Obamacare. And then, you know, the rest of the country gets their health care, you know, through like corporations and where they work. Okay, I've already put my plan out there. I wish that somebody would tell me why it's good or bad or nothing. Yeah. But I don't know. And now Trump, he sent back the health care bill. And it's already, you know, look, no Democrats are voting for it.
And thank God there are
a couple of Republicans.
Libertarian-leaning Republicans that have said they will not sign on to this health care bill in the Senate, which means it will not pass, okay? And those, you only need three Republicans to defect along with all the Democrats, and it won't pass. The four are Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, and I believe his name is Ron Johnson from Wisconsin.
Right.
And the four of them have said, we are not signing on to this, not for the reasons that Democrats aren't signing on to it, but because they said this is worse than Obamacare. What you're proposing in the Senate is worse than Obamacare. It offers no free market solutions, and it actually leaves people worse off.
Okay? And it's just, and you know, I chronicled on the show about, what, 4 weeks ago? I went through a whole list of all the taxes that are being removed. Now, fine, I'm not for taxes, but you have to have something else in your plan other than cutting all those taxes.
Right.
Because the truth is, those taxes being cut, that just benefits people at the top. These are the people, the healthcare they're providing, that's already the wrong optics for all this. So, and the thing with this is, and this is what we talked about a couple of months back, ago, I remember talking about this. I was like, you know what? They're going to fuck this up.
They are.
They're going to fuck this up. And here's what's going to happen. This is now down the road to socialized medicine, single payer system in 2020. And I guarantee whoever the Democrat candidate is, that's what they're going to run.
That should be their
big idea. I absolutely guarantee it. It's the worst system in the world.
And here's what they should, Republicans, if they were smart, they should just let Rand Paul write this legislation. Let him write it. Let him author it. Because as it is, he objected to the fact that they weren't going to let the senators read the bill. So think of the irony of this. How did Obamacare pass? Remember Pelosi's famous, you got to pass it to find out what's in it?
Yeah.
Which, of course, all the liberal friends that I have and all social media seem to get amnesia about this.
Right.
Oh, how disgusting that Republicans do it. And I think I made a joke like, okay, so why is the bar so much higher for Republicans?
Right.
Oh, no, Democrats shared what was in it. Everyone knew what was in it. Bullshit.
I'm kidding. Nobody read that fucking thing.
The guy who authored it admitted that he put stuff in there just to see if anybody would object, and no one did because no one read it, okay? And it was passed by a lame duck Congress, okay? It was after they had lost the elections in 2010, all right? It was right before the Republicans swept in. So it was a lame duck Congress that passed a piece of bullshit legislation that no one had read, okay?
Right.
Now, again, I don't use that as justification for Republicans doing the same thing, but what fucking short memories politicians have.
Yeah.
That's why there's no civility. The whole thing we said with the nuclear option, with Mitch McConnell saying the exact opposite of what he said 4 years ago, for example, okay?
No, how do I read?
I'm sorry. McConnell now saying the opposite of what he said before, right? So the Republicans really just have to say, all right, fuck it, we're in charge. We're not going to be like Democrats light. Let's have a real solution, okay? Let's have a free market solution. And once you have a free market solution generating the proper market scale for everything, Then, if you want, you could start cutting off money, in my opinion, to just provide not insurance, but emergency treatment for people. Okay? So the people who are dying or have very life-threatening situations, they can be taken care of. Because, look, even though liberals don't think so, in life, life is really just a matter of trade-offs, right? You know the old physics thing? Energy can't be created or destroyed, just change states, right? You can't just create money for people. You can't just create wealth. It's not a printing press issue, right? So if you give them money for healthcare, take something away. Let people make choices, right? Maybe you take away half the programs that are out there right now, like free education, like below market interest loans for students, like fair housing and all this HUD bullshit that takes place. Maybe get rid of rent control. Maybe all this fun stuff. Maybe make it easier to start a small business, Larry.
That would be.
To generate income so people can get on health insurance the way 85, 87% of this country does.
That would be at the top of my list. The other things that you listed, I mean, I understand that, but I think that might be just being punitive. I would like to see something done with small businesses, with companies. Grow the economy. This is another thing you have to worry about with Trump. Why is the government doing all this? Yeah. Even the Republican plan. And, you know, this is aggravating to me because, I've been saying for a very long time, I mean, even going back to the college, I used to tell them, the Republicans don't do something, eventually the Democrats will. I'm not just saying that now. Eventually they will. You know why? Because this is a major issue to them. And even if you're a Republican, you don't care. Well, I got health care, so I don't care. All right, you know what the problem is? You have an entire other party that thinks everybody else should have it. It should have access to it. It should be cheap. They know it. They know how to work this issue. That's why I'm predicting right now the single pay. I don't know if we're going to wind up with it, but it's going to be the big issue in 2020.
Yeah,
it's not going to be any wars or anything like, because I don't think Trump's going to be doing that. I just think,
you know. So when you see something like, look, admittedly, free market reforms typically have a painful period. Okay. Because people have to get weaned off of having the government take care of them, right? So, what was it? When Reagan had to let interest rates rise, Larry, in the early 80s, like Milton Friedman told him, to allow inflation to come down, which was a big killer for the common man, right? And we had two very rough years under Reagan's economy, okay? Very, very rough years until things righted. Right. Market forces were able to take effect. And at least in that situation, Reagan could always, and Milton Friedman and all these guys who were advising him could say, we expect a rough patch. Japan went through the same thing. We expect a rough patch, but in 2 to 3 years, it'll all be delicious. And that's exactly what happened.
Right.
And we're still living off the prosperity of the 80s to some large extent, okay?
That's right. All right. The first 2 years Reagan was in office.
Horrible.
Yeah. The boom, I remember this because it was on Time magazine, was December 82. So it was a good 2 years of like
suffering.
Wow. You know, but, you know, and here's the difference in character too that I always loved about Reagan. You notice how the first 4 years that Obama was in office, everything was, well, it was Bush's fault. It was Bush's fault. George Bush, blah, blah, blah. You can't even find any footage of Ronald Reagan talking about Jimmy Carter. When he got into office, he owned it.
Yeah.
It was his job. I'm not kidding. Go research that. Find me something with, because Reagan inherited 21% interest rates, 14% inflation, 9% unemployment. They were flying back while he was being inaugurated, but that was during the campaign.
Right.
But the Soviets were in Afghanistan. It was a big fucking mess. That Jimmy Carter, that idiot.
The Berlin Wall was up.
Right. The Berlin Wall was up. And to punish the Soviets for going into Afghanistan, Jimmy Carter decided not to send our Olympians to the 1980 Moscow Olympics and his grain embargo, which, of course, what did that really do? Punished our athletes. Some of them, their only shot to go to the Olympics. This is the only thing that matters to them. They didn't get to go. And the grain that we didn't send to the Soviet Union that he thought was going to be a big economic chip against them, they made up that grain from Argentina and Australia, and they didn't
miss a beat.
And they fucked our farmers by doing it. I mean, but, you know, you have to realize, like, when Reagan took over, he really did inherit a mess. Didn't talk about Carter. Just, you know, this is what we're doing. We have our program. Yeah, the PATCO workers got out of line. He fired. he just followed Should I dare just say common sense? But this is out there, and that's what's missing in today's world, like a condescending ideologue like Obama, and now this guy Trump. Now Nancy Pelosi's in trouble.
Good for her. I really couldn't give two shits about Nancy Pelosi. Well, but Republicans have to understand like you got to capitalize. You got to deliver. And you're not delivering, no matter what Trump says. You're not delivering. And Trump is appealing to that hardcore 35% rubes that still think he's doing a good job. Nobody who was undecided about Trump all of a sudden thinks he's doing a good job. Nobody.
Yeah, numbers have actually gone down.
Yeah.
He came into office.
But that's fake media again, by the way. Right. That's fake polls.
He was in the mid-40s. Yeah. Now he's in the mid-30s. And that, you know what that means? That means that even people who voted for him now, they're officially disappointed.
Well,
or they're just.
I'm telling you, the people who voted for him again as a move against Hillary Clinton, and I know some of these guys, much like I predicted, they're now saying, "We don't know if he's that great." And now they're like, they'll say, "We don't know if he's that great," like Larry, and then they'll say, "I guess I'm glad it's not Hillary Clinton." And you kind of get that vibe from them. Rubes are still going to be rubes. They think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Did you see the turnout?
And again, like I said, why is a president still going to rallies? What is it? 3 months, 4 or 5 months into his term.
He loves it though.
He loves it because it's something that he doesn't have to put any thought into.
But it's just a praise. It's people who will.
You know what's funny? I was listening to a comedian and he said, "Do yourself a favor. Take a transcript of any of Trump's speeches or interviews. Don't watch them.
Right.
Read them." And he said something like, "I'll give you $1 million if you find anything that makes sense in any of them, like anything of substance, either informative or ideological or anything." Anything. And you know, I started to, and he was right. You really can't find, like he did a thing with The Economist. He spent the first half of that interview claiming that he invented the term priming the pump.
Oh, yeah.
Like literally, he sat down with one of the most prestigious economic periodicals and started to claim that he invented the phrase priming the pump. And then you read through the rest of it, and it was all gibberish.
Yeah.
And what little wasn't gibberish was him being a Keynesian, you know, getting the government to solve issues. Listen to him about crime, about anything, about terrorism, about anything, healthcare. It's just a series of we're great, we're awesome, we're going to win. You won't be able to stand the amount of winning. There'll be so much winning. It'll be like you came in your pants. It's fantastic, you know. It's, you know, that's all you get out of his speeches. There's nothing of substance there, nothing.
He sounds like Charlie Sheen. Remember when Charlie Sheen was having his meltdown? He kept going, "I'm winning and I'm winning." And some reporter said to him, "Somebody told me you're bipolar." He goes, "I'm by winning." Well, like, you just kept turning everything into winning.
So now he's like full AIDS.
So Nancy Pelosi.
So she's got
some trouble out there in her home state of California. Now already has, here's an interesting John. They already have, it's not a state sponsored ban on travel. They have a ban on 4 states. Okay. That's, North Carolina, Tennessee, Mississippi, and Kansas. 4 states that they say are not protecting LGBTQ rights. So that's the whole lesbian, gay, transgender. Okay. So California, they put out a statement, the governor put out a statement, you know, that we are a leader in standing up for the rights of lesbian, gay, and he went through the whole list. Okay. They have a ban that you can't use state money or have a sponsored state trip to those states.
Right.
That's their official to those like more conservative states.
I've always wondered how constitutional those are within the state.
Yeah.
Because if you, for example,
it's a good question. If they just added 4 more states.
Because if you're a small business that's doing business in California, say with a place in North Carolina, or you have a contractor's, you know, like it's really questionable whether they could do that based on speech or based on law, you know, from another state. It really is interesting. I guess they can.
They specified that a lot of these states, now they added Alabama, Kentucky, South Dakota, and Texas. All right, so now, you know, basically a lot of states that voted for Trump. But a lot of these states have religious liberty laws.
Right.
And Kentucky's got one where you don't have to have like lesbian, gay, or trans as like your classmates. There are other one. There are other states that have laws about religious liberties have to be protected, and you can't force people to associate, right, whatever. Yeah. And then California came back and just said, well, you're using religion just to discriminate against people. And, so now the list is now up to 8.
So I have to tell you, I've always taken this from a position of you should be able to associate with whomever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want. And if I choose not to, if I choose to associate with someone, it means I choose not to associate with someone. And for, I can have whatever reason I want for not, let's say I'm a racist. Let's say I'm a religious bigot. Let's say I'm a male chauvinist. Whatever the fuck you want to call me or want to be, I don't understand why it's your right to force me to associate with someone, to conduct business with someone that I, for whatever reason, do not want to associate with. In private life, not in the government. Government is different. Government has to be fully accessible to all its citizens.
Right.
Okay? So I'm not saying that state agencies can discriminate. But I'm saying a private citizen in his own affairs, why should that person be forced to associate? And why do I have to give you a reason? Why do I have to give you a reason as to why I don't want my kid playing with your kid? Why do I have to give you a reason? And why does that reason need to be judged?
Right.
I don't get it. I really don't. It is truly something that's only come up in the last decade or so where people think they can dictate the way you view the world and the way you conduct yourself as long as you don't harm someone. And I really don't understand.
Well, so, it's all part of what we've been talking about forever on this show that, you know, you have the campaign against speech,
right,
against jokes. John keeps talking about the comedians in Canada who keep getting in trouble. This ties in a little bit to what we talked about last week. But of course, some of the examples we were talking about last week, I was talking about, you know, led to violence. But in these cases, they're just simply saying to these people, oh, you don't want to be around gay? Like, oh, well, you know what? We're going to punish you economically. I don't know what the damage of this is, but we're going to punish you economically by not having state, you know, we're not going to work with you. We're not going to have states.
Which again is horrible because it's a government sponsored thing. Now, if there was a private group of California businesses that said, we don't want to deal with our North Carolina or Alabama suppliers because they're anti-gay, God bless.
Good.
No one's forcing you to do business. It's like when I said, you know, when they kicked those gay guys out of some redneck bar and said, we don't want no gays in here. You know, there was this outcry. Good. They don't want gays. They don't want their money. You know what the gays should have done is opened up a gay fucking bar right next to the one that kicked them out. That's a free market solution. Then you know what? May the best bar win.
Yeah.
Whoever gets the most customers, whoever provides the better service, whoever provides the cheapest liquor, Larry, or has the best time, they're going to win economically. That's the way you battle that sort of shit.
And that's going to be the gay guys.
Oh, yeah.
Their bars are fabulous.
And they're immaculate.
And they're clean. And the drinks and just the atmosphere.
It is so marvelous.
It's so positive. And the rednecks are so negative.
Even as a straight guy, you like going to a gay bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than the tooling you get. But other than that, it's fine. But, you know, it also does remind me. Did you see the viral video this week of this woman in Canada who went into a hospital and demanded a white doctor for her son?
Where is this?
In Canada.
Oh, in Canada.
It was great. And all these people are outraged. Like, how dare she ask for a white doctor? I'm like, listen, her asking for a white doctor is her right, you know, I guess. But not in Canada, but if she were here, it would be her right.
Yeah.
But, you know, that sort of thing, that kind of stupid kind of sorts itself out because, like, one, if your kid is dying, why do you care which doctor it is, honestly? Just get someone who knows what they're doing. And two, if you're going to ask for a doctor, everybody knows you ask for a Jew.
That's right. And they're not white.
Yeah, I always get for anybody whose name ends in Steen or
Berg.
Berg.
Begins with Rosen. Gold. Silver. You notice the word Jew is in jewelry.
Yes.
Who said that?
Oh, those angry black
Jews. Those angry black guys, yeah.
Were they the...
Yeah, they're the...
Who are they?
The Israelites. The lost tribe of Israel.
If you ever come to New York and you're a tourist, may I suggest when you see them on the street, try to make friends with them.
Yes. Especially you can find them. You can find them near Madison Square Garden.
Or in Times Square.
Yelling at interracial couples. Look how ugly she is with you. Hello there. Very angry. And the rest of them stand in front.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I sent you that picture that one
time. Yeah.
The one guy was looking at me. I'm like, click. I thought he was going to kill me.
Yeah.
And they wear some pretty funny.
Try talking to them about discrimination and see how it works out for you.
You want to see how far the First Amendment goes.
Yeah. Listen, there's no accounting for stupid people. Really, there isn't. Or for bigoted people. But in my experience, and I think most of people's experience, the way you convert, if at all, bigoted people is through experience and through openness, not by forcing them to do something they don't want to do.
Well, something else that liberals don't understand. Yelling and screaming at people.
Yeah.
Cursing and calling them stupid.
Yep.
And telling them that their mothers are whores and like 100 other insults. You know what? I know you don't believe this. That actually doesn't turn people around.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, that only works. Wow, where the hell is that
work? Nowhere.
Maybe if you're in a bondage room people expect it.
It really doesn't work because it doesn't change people's core beliefs. It may change their phenotype towards you. It may just change the way they act around you. If they're afraid, if they're losing their job or something. But, you know, if you really want to change hearts and minds, to use a borrowed phrase, it's really something you have to have people live through and to experience and to have those positive experiences with people that they thought they could never have a positive experience with. Larry.
Absolutely.
And that's the key, right? So if you want to increase tolerance of gays in areas where they're not tolerated, let them live their lives. You know, just make sure no one's trying to hang them from a tree or drag them behind a pickup truck or some shit like that.
That's a very good point, though, about the experience.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it is. You know, like John and I talk about, you know, sometimes we make jokes about, I grew up in Greenwich Village. Now, if you're familiar with the village, you know, it has a large gay community. Okay, now when I was growing up, this was like, so what? When so many people around you are homosexuals, I'm not kidding. The whole joke is like, you don't think anything of it. It's just, it becomes like just other people you pass in the street. And unless they're trying to harm you or do something, then you get to the point you just ignore them like any other stranger passing you in the street. Like I always used to tell people, one of the reasons, like I've always been in favor of gay rights is because of where I grew up. These are my experiences. What's the big deal? But I always made exceptions where I understand that if you grew up like in the middle of Mississippi or Alabama, so this might be like so shocking to you. I mean, plus the fact that you're all bombarded with religion down there, but this might be like, what are you doing? Two guys and kissing and,
And listen, tolerance doesn't mean acceptance. That's the other thing liberals don't understand, right? So I can be tolerant of someone, but not accept any of their core beliefs or actions or whatever.
Right. Your responsibility as an American is just to give them their room so they can go through their lives.
Exactly.
You don't have to be crazy about them. But I can tell you right now, John, that's a good term, hearts and minds. That's the old military thing from like Vietnam. I can tell you right now, if you just yell and scream and yell, like liberals, this is all liberals are doing now. They're just, everyone's stupid, everyone's evil.
And honestly, you're following the playbook of the religious right in the 80s that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if you were alive during the 80s and politically aware, you'll remember the Pat Robertsons and the
Jerry Falwell.
And who was the attorney general? Edwin Meese. Meese laws in the 80s under Reagan, right? Very anti-porn, and there were guys who were going to jail, like horrible pornographers, all of them. I'm not going to say they were upstanding citizens, but you know what?
They're douchey people.
They were basically exercising their right of free speech, okay? There's no doubt. Today, no one would doubt that that's what it was. But back then, that's what the religious right did. And you know what ended up happening? You really started making porn more accessible because people were like, okay, what is this? What am I looking at? What's so horrible about this? I got to check it out.
Yeah, but they didn't help their cause.
No, they didn't change anybody's mind.
They didn't change anybody. And I can tell you right now, they became enormously unpopular.
Yes.
Because you know what? Falwell, who used to run what used to go the Moral Majority, then in 85 they changed their name to the Liberty Federation. But he used to run it with a guy named Cal Thomas, and they used to go out, see them on shows. One of his favorite venues was to go on Phil Donahue and argue with Phil because Phil is such a liberal. And he would tell you about all the porn and the gay, and what it's doing to our country. And then, you know, then they started getting into those positions like if somebody died or some gay guy got killed or some horrible thing. That's God's wrath because you support gay rights or you support abortion.
Right.
Or something stupid like that. And when you see adults, actually, this is what's going through their mind. And they didn't do themselves any favor. Not only did they not win anybody over, I think they lost people.
They lost a lot of people.
Became enormously unpopular. Because, you know, Falwell always used to say that, and which is true, a lot of these people that never used to even vote.
Right.
A lot of these people, they just were concerned with their lives. They got their church and their little town. At the time, the big thing was Falwell was doing a big voter registration, right? And for the Democrats, Jesse Jackson and the Rainbow Coalition were doing another similar drive among blacks and poor whites throughout the South. And Falwell brought in all these people, and they started voting. But once everybody started finding out what they were about, you know, they sounded like Frederick Marx's character in Inherit the Wind. They just sound like rambling lunatics going on about Jesus and the Bible.
Right.
So, you know, and there are other things. But I can tell you right now, what the only thing that's going to keep Trump going, just tying it, is all the left-wing. They're the unhinged people.
Right.
They're the crazies. They're the condescending. You know, this week, Johnny Depp, asshole actor that he is, came out and he said, what do you think of another actor killing the president? And the crowd kind of laughed uncomfortably. And also this week, the co-chairman of the Democratic Party's computer team or cyber team, whatever the fuck it's called in Nebraska. Did you hear about this guy, Phil Montague? He's on tape saying he's really happy that Scalise got shot. And I hate that fucking guy and fuck him and I hope he fucking dies. They have him on tape. And naturally, like everybody else in today's world, he had to walk it back. He had to apologize. He had the audacity to say his words were taken out of context. Why does everybody say that? But if you're there and you're clear as day, you're happy that the guy, and the only thing you're not happy about is that he's going to survive and that you wish death on him, you know, and this ties into what we were talking about last week. Look, political violence is insane. And then that guy, Bill Nye, finally, the writer, you know that guy, Bill Nye? Is it him? I think it's the same guy, but it said the story I read only identified him as a writer, Bill Nye, and he said this: if a couple of old ass conservative white guys have to get killed so we can get our gun control laws passed, it said Phil NYE, but it might be a different guy.
Yeah,
but he said if they get killed, he's willing to risk it so we can get gun control.
Well, look, the only thing that I find disappointing about those statements is when they walk them back. If that's what you feel, say it and stick by it, okay? I really just hate people who become pussies when they're confronted, you know? I don't wish violence on anyone, to be honest with you, but if I did, I wouldn't walk it back when someone goes, oh, that's horrible. Yeah, it's horrible. Fuck you. That's why I said it, okay? So that's the first thing. But the second thing, it really does show the hypocrisy of the left, right? They want everyone to have peace and love until it comes to the right wingers. Then they wish horrible deaths on all of them.
Yeah.
And while there are some supposed right wingers that are violent and this and that, it really isn't a position of the right to say, I really wish death on people.
Yeah. This is what we were talking about last week.
Yeah, so as far as I'm concerned, say what's on your mind, left-wingers. If you think Scalise should have been killed, great. Say that. Say that. And stick by it. Let people know what's going through your head, because that would do everyone a favor. Let people understand what your political philosophy is. And if your political philosophy is violence now, which increasingly on the left is the case, let people know about it. Be men about it. Yeah, and yeah. I used the chauvinist term. Be men about it. You know, grab your balls and pony up, cowboy up, and say, this is what I want. I want all Republicans to die. And then deal with the fallout.
Right.
Then deal with the fallout.
I mean, these are stupid things to say, but he's absolutely right. If you're going to put it out there, put it out there. Like, even when Kathy Griffin got in trouble, she immediately started saying she apologized, but then she went into a tirade about Trump's entire family's trying to ruin her career. Who the fuck told you to put a bloody head of Donald Trump and hold it for? Did they do that to you? Did they force it? You did it. Own it.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you apologizing for? You obviously meant to do it, asshole. It's not, this is not the kind that you just stumbled into.
Right.
Or you
right.
made a comment. You get a fake bloody head with blood all over and you're holding up by its hair. Obviously, you meant to do this. So, John's right. If you're going to say these dumb things, you should own it.
And to tie it in, Larry, for our last subject, owning it.
Yeah.
The man who I now admire for owning his nonsense has to be Bill Cosby. The Cos. He's about to skate on like 8,000 sexual assault allegations. Pretty soon, probably, right?
Yeah. Well, he had the mistrial.
And he has the audacity to set up seminars where he's going to lecture on how to avoid sex assault raps.
He's going to do town halls, a series of town halls. Now, of course, you realize what's
now that's owning your nonsense right there.
But this is like, I've noticed, this is like a kind of a funny pattern with black dudes. Like, did you remember when OJ got in trouble? And then when they found him not guilty, he started like, well, now we can find out who killed my wife and Ron Goldman. And, oh, I'm going to set up a fund to do it. Yeah. And I'm going to go around the country. Really? How much time did he spend actually looking to find himself?
And then the funniest part is he wrote a book called If I Had Done It. Why not just change it to When I Did It? You know, yeah, like, come on. So, Larry's right to some extent, but the fact that the Cos is going out there and going with the pudding pops and telling people when you shove your wee-wee in the vagina, you don't want to get caught.
Whoopee, yeah, it feels like jello. Mm-hmm. And there's always room for jello.
Make sure you put a lot of date rape drugs in the drinks, and when they pass out, then you do it in the vajayjay and a little bit of extra in the boom.
I want to hear what Hannibal Buress has to say.
Oh, yeah, right.
He made his entire career.
The audacity of this man.
Yes.
Now.
That's
seriously.
The, yeah.
Like you beat the rap. You're 90 years old or whatever the fuck you
are.
Well,
then they're going to refile charges. But for now.
Go home. Just, you know what? Use the opportunity that you have your freedom. Move to fucking Mexico. Move to France. Go somewhere where they're still hiding Polanski, that fucking child rapist. Go hang out with him. Wherever he's hanging out, he's living life and enjoying it.
Yeah, you'd fit in very well.
And he fucked the 13-year-old or whatever it was at the time, okay? Mm-hmm. So if there's a country willing to hide a fucking baby toucher, go there, Cosby. They'll love you. I mean, you only fucked unconscious adult women.
That's right.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And not Camille.
Not Camille. Did you get into pudding pops?
Did you ever see the thing that Eddie Murphy said? He goes, I got a call.
That was the last thing.
I would like to talk to you about the language.
Okay, he has one of the cards. Yeah, and he goes, you don't know me. Fuck you.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so Bill Cosby, you got balls, my man.
And you use them, apparently, quite a bit.
Right across the bridge of a nose.
Oh, my Lord. Just terrible.
But anyway, we're going to wrap up the show, Larry?
Yes, because I officially lost 4 pounds.
It's hot in the studio today. But anyway, all right. Let's get ready for next week, but
until the end of the show, now on, just so you know, I'm going to start clapping like Trump does.
Yeah.
When he goes, it's okay. You have to speak up.
All right. Until next week, when we will have the best show on the planet, better than any other show, number one, best ratings. Until then, this is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Larry M.
Make America great, niggas.
That's great.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judah Larry M. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and I just love Sunday morning plumpkins.